Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Back, run like a wild man.
I watched you struggle and I watched you wrestle with them angels.
Here he is, from Auburn University, Bo Jackson.
The correct Auburn Arena time is 9.02 p.m. Central Standard Time. Your digital audio device is tuned into the Orange and True podcast, coming to you live to tape for the first time in 2022. Greetings and salutations. It is I, SunnerCrow2 on Twitter. You can find me at SunnerCrow on Venmo. To one side of me, via the magic of the internet, a man who has just let his hair down tonight. The rumor monger himself, Ryan Starrett, at Ryan S. Starrett. The S stands for,
I don't know, man.
Salon Don. With that haircut. The Pantene Pro. A lot of flow, a lot of lettuce coming out of the back of the helmet if you were a lacrosse player.
It's a little fluffy today.
Ryan, how's it going? How was your new year?
It was good. We watched Norm MacDonald clips for a solid 3 hours or so. A little bit of John Madden, a little bit of Betty White. Definitely better than watching football on New Year's Eve. So,
the trifecta. To the other side of me, bringing you the full Fort Payne ASMR that you pay extra for. All the way from not Sand Mountain, the AU chief.
Pitter patter.
Pitter patter. Let's go at her, boys. We have got lots of basketball to talk about. The last time I was on here, I don't know, it's been a while. Stained. Been a while since I've been on here for a while.
It's been a while.
And I don't know what y'all spoke about last time.
Well, we skipped that.
Yeah, we previewed LSU last time.
Right? Did you talk about the game prior to LSU?
North Alabama? I think we actually recorded the night before North Alabama.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, Auburn beat the snot out of North Alabama.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they did.
And also beat snot out of LSU.
And then beat LSU, a really, really good LSU team. LSU team that is better than people think. I mean, they're undefeated coming in, so already that's pretty good. But defensively, they're one of the highest-rated teams in the country.
Let me correct you. The highest defensively rated team in the country.
Still.
They are still
number one.
They are an incredible defensive team and a team that scores a lot in transition, likes to get out and run on you when they get those turnovers.
And they did have more transition points than we did. I'm pretty sure about that in this game.
But Chief, how many points did they have at halftime?
Not many. They only had one for the first six
quarter, essentially. Yeah. 11 minutes.
21 minutes, points. Yeah. They had 21 points at halftime, which is the lowest number of points that an opponent has ever scored in Auburn Arena. And that includes Georgia, who's played in Auburn Arena several times and been terrible.
And some bad Missouri team that we played last year.
Does that include Auburn in Auburn Arena as well?
No, this is opponents.
Opponents only. Yeah. Which, opponents when you think only. About it, hasn't Auburn always been its worst or toughest opponent?
Man. Maybe also in life.
Chuck Person would say so.
Well, boy. But yes, this LSU game was a good one, as they say. Does anyone say that? I don't know. But it was good, and Auburn looked really good, like one of the best teams in the country good.
Yeah.
Like, triple-double good, huh?
Auburn, it was interesting because Auburn looked good enough that you would consider it to be one of the best teams in the country, but also, like, when you play a team that's that good defensively, and then you have a guy, you have multiple players, score double figures, you have Wendell Green, who was transcendent. Again, Wendell Green's had some pretty incredible games.
But you're playing a team that's one of the best teams in the country, that's undefeated, and you have a dude get 11 blocks. 11 blocks is so demoralizing. It is... My brother and I used to have this debate over which is more demoralizing, a guy scoring 40 or a guy having 20 rebounds. And I used
well,
to always...
Well, we may find out.
I used to always say 20 rebounds is demoralizing. If you just cannot get a rebound because this one dude's getting all of them. I would say 11 blocks, double-digit blocks, is up there. If you cannot get a shot off because dude is throwing every other shot into the stands, that's tough. That is really tough. And this LSU is not North Alabama. This is a really stinking good team.
Yep.
Yeah. For most of the first half, Walker Kessler had more blocks than LSU had points. I think he had three in the first minute of play or so. And as we said, LSU scored their third point with 9 minutes left. So
I've gone blank, but LSU has a NBA prospect who played really well in this game and stripped Jabari on a fast break.
He had a rough go of it early in the game. He wasn't getting involved as much.
Auburn limited his touches.
Yeah, well, that's happened a few times with him too. It's taken him a while to get going. In this game, he's come the closest to, I'd say, to struggling. And
oh, you're talking about Jabari.
Jabari, yeah.
Going up against Terry Eason, he's a top 20 draft prospect.
Yeah, so Eason's a stud, and Auburn made him look pretty pedestrian at times, but he played well.
Yeah, Jabari.
He's probably the best matchup Jabari's had in his life,
for sure.
Right?
So. Yeah. Jabari still almost had a double-double, right?
Right.
I'm not sure how close he was on rebounds, but it was probably pretty close.
Jabari finished his game 16 points, 4 rebounds,
okay, not
block, steal, assist.
Okay. Still, decent game. How many turnovers did he end up getting credited with in this game?
Turnovers for Jabari, 4 turnovers.
Yeah. He struggled a little bit when they put a little pressure on him. It was a tough go for him for a while. But
when anybody but Eason was guarding him,
yeah,
he was the best player on the floor by a mile. Like,
he's still the only player that can just get his own shot.
Well, to that point, the most impressive play of the season this year so far was end of the first half. Inbound comes to Jabari. He's at the elbow, takes the ball. They are full court pressing him. And I can't remember if it's off an inbounds or off a missed shot. Either way, they're doing a full court press. And it's not Eason guarding him. It's another dude. Jabari acts as if that guy is not there. And right-hand dribbles the entire way down, gets to free throw line extended on our end, jumper, makes it, time expires. This is such a difficult play. You're thinking about this. You're like, well, that's not that hard, Crow. You go to a gym or go to a court, and you get the ball and run full speed with it to a jump shot at the other elbow and make it. Now try to do it with the guy guarding you. Now try to do it with the clock running down in a crowded full of people. Jabari makes it look so easy. That watching it the first time, you might think, oh, wow, this is just a really good player. The confidence to know where my spot on the floor is, because he's made 15 shots from that exact spot this season so far. He loves elbow extended. He loves that spot on the floor. That 15, 17-foot jump shot from either side, he is killing people with it. He knows he can make it from there. So him taking it down there, not trying to drive to the lane and get a contested layup, but going, this is cash from here, so I'm just going to take it right there and make it. That's unbelievable. That is a preposterous level of confidence for an 18-year-old, and to do it with a guy guarding you who is trying to full-court press, and you just dribble him out of his socks, go to your spot, make your shot, halftime. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, related to that, you've talked a lot over the years about Bruce being a great blob and slob coach. out of bounds yes. plays. And I think on Twitter yesterday or today, Drew at Orange Drew, who kind of does those video breakdowns, he was talking about how this year there's a very simple baseline out of bounds play that Bruce has drawn up, and it's he just calls it Jabari Better, where they throw it into Jabari at the elbow, hits a two.
Yeah.
That's all it is. That's all it is.
If you watch a lot of Kobe, I would say the thing about Kobe Bryant and Dirk Nowitzki, because I watched a lot of those two guys in my life, is that there were certain spots on the floor that you had to keep them from getting to that spot. Because if they got to that spot, it's 2 points. And those two guys both knew, if you don't have a baseball bat, I'm getting to that spot. And I'm making this shot. And that's kind of where Jabari's at. Like he is to that level of, I got my spots on this court that if you let me to that area, it's 2 points, or I'm going to the free throw line. That's it.
I also wonder if people just understand how difficult it is just to not take your own shot. Anybody can just take any shot they want on the floor if they just don't have a conscience, I guess. But to be able to create your own shot, own good shot. All of Jabari's shots are good. None of them are.
Yeah.
Almost none of them have been contested in a way that's actually contested. He can just do it and make any shot that he takes a good shot, whether it goes in or not. It's really hard. Like most players can't.
Yeah, that's a really good point. You know, there's a lot of guys on the team this year and last year and the year before and the year before where sometimes they'd shoot it and your head, you're going, no, and they make it and like, oh, okay. Jabari's never taken one of those shots.
Yeah.
Like,
no. No, every time I'm like, oh, all right, just do it. And, you know, there's a lot of people that basically can only get a shot if they're getting passed to. You know, Bryce Brown was okay at it. Early on, though, that dude needed somebody to pass him the ball, and he needed to be set up for a shot. There's a lot more guys that can do that than can do what Jabari does, which is just decide where he wants to shoot it from and take it there himself and shoot it. And it's incredible to watch.
But this wasn't a Jabari game.
Nope.
So Auburn won the four factors because it won effective field goal percentage, 50 to 33.
Pretty healthy margin there.
Yeah. Lost turnover percentage. Auburn turned the ball over a lot more than it wanted to. But again, this is the best defensive team in KenPom, LSU. Auburn won the offensive rebound percentage and won what we're calling the free throw ratio, which is really good. Auburn got to the line, which isn't something it has not been doing this year. This may be one of the only games it's done this in. But the man of the hour was Walter Kessler, who I believe currently has more blocked shots on this season than the North Carolina Tar Heels do as a team. Not to like
more compare, than most teams,
but he does.
Yeah, I think I saw it was what Walker is compared to other teams, he'd be 55th in the country in blocks.
Yeah, he had 16 points, 10 rebounds, and 11 blocks in this game and made a three, which he says he dabbles in shooting threes.
I dabble. Walker Kessler, the dabbler.
Walter Kessler may be Auburn Twitter's official player of this team at this point. Also part of the Bucket Hat gang, so.
Yeah, he is. One might even say he's the leader of the Bucket Hat gang. Leader. He took the plunge before anyone else.
The Bucket Hat boys. Alan Flanagan played a lot of minutes in his second game back.
28, right?
28 minutes. If there was any doubt if he was in shape, he played 28 minutes at college basketball and was four rebounds away from a double-double.
Yeah.
10.6 rebounds, three steals.
You know, you could tell he was still a little rusty, but it wasn't much. There wasn't a whole lot of rust left on there.
Yeah, I mean, still 2 of 4 from three. He was pulling six rebounds, three steals. It's just he's still back to being the best on-ball defender probably on the team.
Still has one of the weirdest shots of anybody I've ever seen. It's like a shoots from a side.
Hating on Blackies. Just hating on lefties, I think.
No, it's just a weird shot, man. He like turns sideways to the basket to shoot his threes, and they go in.
Whatever he's got to do to be 50% of the threes.
Jalen Rose's shot was weird like that, too. Today, as of the recording of this podcast, Auburn is number 9 in both KenPom and the AP poll. The AP poll means very little. It means less than this podcast poll, in which Auburn is first. But it is still a thing, and Auburn's top 10.
Number 9.
I'd say that's a pretty good spot to be going into the new year.
Sure.
I believe – I have to double check. I think that makes Auburn the highest rated team in the SEC, not knowing where Kentucky is at this point.
Kentucky's pretty good, guys. I'm getting a little bit – I was supremely confident in our ability to beat Kentucky. I'm a little bit less so. They match up really well with Auburn. It's almost as if Cal was like, we're going to construct an Auburn-beating team.
When you mentioned being demoralized by somebody getting 20 rebounds, that
son of a gun might get 30. Like he is. He's
20
getting
back to back games.
He's getting 20 a game at this point.
That's absurd.
They got Dennis Rodman on their team. That's what they got.
Oh my gosh, that's insane. I just look at the other teams, though, in this conference and the teams ahead of us, and I wonder how many of them have not just 12 deep, because we're 12 deep, not just one of the top three players, I think maybe probably the top player in the draft, but possibly three first rounders, possibly two lottery picks on the team. Like, I don't see that on any of those.
Who's your second lottery pick?
Kessler.
If he keeps hitting threes, maybe.
Yeah.
But I could see him in the first.
If he can be a 25-30% three-point shooter, I mean, he runs as well as any seven-footer.
Yeah. He does have the most important ability, which is being the ability to be 7 feet tall. Yeah,
right. Exactly.
That is an uncoachable ability.
Yeah.
Ryan, you got our KenPom projections down here.
Yeah. KenPom, who's hating on Auburn. To talk about KenPom and talk about team rankings, just some different projection systems. Both of them pretty much have Auburn slated at 25-6.
Wait a minute.
And finishing.
Before we do this, we're going to do KenPom and team rankings, which are both kind of advanced stat nerd sites. We really need a theme song for that. It's like Nerd Corner. And so, Jack, just throw in like a Nerd Corner theme song.
Hang on. If anybody's coming up with songs, that's you.
Okay. It's Nerd Corner theme song. It's the Nerd Corner with Ryan. There you go, Ryan.
All right, this week on Nerd Corner. KenPom. 25-6, looking at 14-4 in the conference, which I think is like two games clear of any other team's projections in conference play. Beating one of the best teams in the conference in your first game will do that for you. Of the games left on the schedule, there's only two that Auburn's projected to lose outright, and that's at Bama, at Tennessee, and that's by a combined 4 points. So, I don't know. This is still not a place any Auburn fan should be familiar with or comfortable with, because even on the Final Four year, like there were some slumps in SEC play. Auburn was not the best team in the conference all season long. We have to sit here with perspective and say Auburn's probably going to not look great at some point in the season.
Sure.
Just because we're Auburn fans, that's what you have to say. No, right?
I'm going to speak against that right now. There is a spirit of negativity among Auburn fans who would rather be ranked 16th all year. Like 16th to 20th. That's kind of where Auburn fans want to be. And then go into the tournament as like a 6th seed. Whereas I'm saying right now, no. Peacock this thing. We should be number 1. And anybody who doesn't rank us number one is hating on us. The fact that that KenPom thinks we're going to lose six games is trash. We're losing zero games.
So we're being disrespected is what you're saying.
Auburn's disrespected. It's all rat poison. It's all rat poison. Any game we're not the favorites is a lie. That's the attitude we need to have. We need to quit with this. Oh, I can't believe it ranked so high. I don't like this. No. Jabari Smith doesn't care what the AP poll says.
All right, here's some more numbers to back up what you're saying, Crow. Team rankings, another projection site. They have Auburn as a 50% chance or better to go 25 or six or better. That wasn't clear, but regardless, 37% chance Auburn wins the regular season SEC. So 1-3 roughly. 21% Auburn wins the conference tournament. 16% chance at a number one national seed. 20% chance for number two seed. So roughly 1-3 Auburn is a top two seed. 16% chance at making the Final Four. 4% chance at winning the title. Pretty good numbers.
That's right? Pretty good. Could be better team rankings. They're all hating. The only thing I would agree, though, only because we are still in the midst of a global pandemic, and there could be an outbreak, and we could lose some games because Leor Borman's our best player on the court.
I mean, it's also basketball. Like,
it's also basketball.
You can have a bad night. I mean, there's a reason why that there's only a few undefeated teams left, and you know, there's still a bunch of teams ranked. There's more teams ranked than are undefeated. So
there is a reason South Carolina lost to Coastal Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
It's basketball. It's basketball.
Yeah.
But we also have the best player in the country.
By the way, I didn't realize Cliff Ellis still at Coastal Carolina.
Yeah, man.
Cliff Dwellers.
Is Mamadou there with him still? Or did he move? No, he's at UCF.
Mamadou coached in Auburn Arena this year.
That's right.
Yeah, Mamba don't coach at UCF anymore. At Coastal Carolina.
Coastal.
Guys, we're playing South Carolina. South Carolina is much worse than LSU. However, we are playing them in Columbia. And that is a place where, for a long time, for whatever reason, Auburn basketball dreams went to die. Mm-hmm. It is also the place where I believe we clinched or came close to clinching. We could have clinched. Sorry.
No.
That is a dream that also we could have clinched the SEC there, and we didn't because Anthony got hurt at South Carolina.
We clinched against South Carolina at home.
Right.
A couple of weeks prior, Anthony broke his leg.
Anthony got hurt at South Carolina. So this is a place that has a lot of memories, a lot of problems with Auburn fans. I want you to take all that and put it in the garbage. Because this South Carolina team lost to Coastal and is the number 95th ranked team in KenPom. They are 9-3. For whatever reason, now I think Frank Martin's a great coach. They seem to have had more COVID problems than any team in the conference. Is that right?
This year and last year.
I know. The last couple
COVID issues this year. Frank Martin missed like half the season last year.
Since the beginning of the pandemic, it appears that South Carolina, I think that their team is just not taking it seriously, maybe. Like, are they just licking handrails in the quad? Like, what's happening? Because it seems like they have, last year, like you're right, their coach missed half the year. They had multiple games where they had like six scholarship players. And then this year, they haven't played since before Christmas because of COVID. I don't know what's going on up there in Columbia. Are they not masking? Are they not vaxxing? Are they going to raves? Like, I don't know what is the team doing?
Well,
the Columbia rave scene, you know, real famous.
Well, currently, it doesn't really seem like anything matters because you're just going to get it.
Right.
But, you know, depends on what you've done, maybe that can mitigate how it's going to affect you.
There are other schools that seem to not have had a single player catch it on football or basketball, looking at a different school in this state, in the state of Alabama, that for whatever reason have gone 2 years without having a starter miss time due to this pandemic. Meanwhile, South Carolina can't get six guys together half the time.
Yeah, that definitely contributes to why they're second in the country in bench minutes. I think you talked about Auburn going 12 deep. The South Carolina team does too.
I don't think they're 12.
There are a lot of different players. Yeah, not necessarily as talented as the Auburn roster, but it won't be a situation where you're probably getting guys to foul out or play 30-plus minutes for South Carolina. This is a Frank Martin-ass team, if there ever was one. Not a great scoring team, not a super talented team. But they play really good defense. They're a top 50 KenPom team on defense. Bunch of dudes you're going to hate. Their best player is a center from Massachusetts.
Wonderful.
6'10", 250. You know, 6'10". No, he gets a lot of fouls. He commits a lot of fouls. But is great on the offensive glass and just a high volume guy from two. Basically just Chris Silva reincarnate, I think. But like I said, not a great offensive team. They're 184th on offense in KenPom. They don't really shoot all that well. Won't go into that because you'll get mad at me, Chief. But they're a really good rebounding team that's going to get a lot of second chance points and take a decent amount of free throws. For whatever reason, South Carolina, I don't know what Auburn's record for South Carolina is over the last 5 years, but it feels like it's not great. Could be another one of these teams.
Ryan, you probably don't remember this, but Chief, do you remember when South Carolina won back to back NITs?
Oh, yeah, man. Crazy.
Like one of these teams that could win the NIT. That's what you're getting at.
Well, no, I mean, it's like they've always been kind of like tough in basketball.
Yeah.
Like good, but tough. And like those two teams were the number one seed overall in the NIT both years on the bubble. Just barely didn't get in and then just housed that tournament. And they've always been that way. They've always been just scrappy as all get out.
Yeah, it's Frank Martin was basically a match made in heaven for them, just to carry on that scrappiness. He loves to have players that I just hate on his teams too.
Oh, buddy. But that one, that super tall dude isn't there anymore.
No, he's gone.
Silva. Wish he was on our team.
You stepped away there for a second, Kuro, but that's what I was saying. Is their best player is essentially another Chris Silva.
Yeah, he's certified.
6'10", 250.
Going to get fouled.
From Boston, and he gets fouled a lot, and he commits a ton of fouls. Hopefully the rest are calling it in this one, but you never
know. Remember when we were playing up there and Chris Silva could have fouled out like 10 times and they just wouldn't call him? Fouling.
Yep.
Crew, do you want to take a shot at his last name? It sounds like something you would maybe have a better chance of pronouncing than either Chief or I.
Is he from?
Is it Slavic?
He's from Massachusetts.
Okay.
So, Wildens Levesque.
Is it Levesque?
L-E-V-E-Q-U-E.
Yeah, it looks like French to me, but Wildens is Dutch, so he's got a lot going on.
he's probably Belgian.
Oh, you know what? You're absolutely right. I bet he's Belgian. I bet he has Belgian heritage. Vildens Levesque.
His middle name's probably German.
Yeah, he's just all over the place.
Oh, he's cousin. He's cousins of Nerl Joel.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow.
Nerlens, one of the worst contracts in the entire National Basketball Association. All right. I really don't want him to get 25 rebounds in this game, but he is really good at offensive rebounds. And that's tough. Like, offensive rebounds is tough because we aren't a significantly great defensive rebounding team. We're pretty good. But it's going to take Walker really stepping up on the defensive glass, Jabari. And I think getting Flanagan back is going to help because Flanagan's an underrated rebounder himself. So those three guys have got to do a lot of work on the offensive and defensive, on the defensive glass especially. We're a really good defensive team, but defense isn't end until you get the ball back. And so if Holmes can get a lot of offense rebounds, it's going to be a long night.
Yep. That's
we can't foul this worrisome. Dude. Five fouls. That's crazy.
Five for 40 is how many he commits.
He commits. I think.
Yeah. The one thing I worry about with this Auburn team is just getting out rebounded. We did a really good job of it for a few games, but I think it's still an issue.
I'd like to see Auburn go back to the full court press with the guards. This South Carolina team gives up a ton of steals. They're one of like the 30 worst teams in the country in steal percentage on offense. Auburn being one of the better teams, obviously. So just hound them all night, keep that pressure up. Especially now that you've got the depth, it seems like Cambridge will be back. So you've got bodies to go at these guys if you need to. Not worry about fouls.
Now, I'm hoping we don't have a surprise one or two or more guys like we did with Devin last week before this game tomorrow. That would be a real bummer. There's a good thing. We've got about 12 guys that can play minutes if they have to. So,
yeah, there's like two guys that it's like Auburn's a different team if Jabari or Walter can't go.
Right.
If those two guys can go, Auburn's pretty plug and play. Like,
yeah,
the other dudes can kind of all fit in around those two cats.
We still end up with some weird lineups that aren't great at times.
I think Bruce is just clowning on people with that stuff sometimes. I look at the court, I'm like, what is he doing? He's just got five dudes out there.
Yeah, I can't remember specifically. There was one where it was like
he had Zepp and Lior at the 1 and 2 at one point, I think.
Yeah, Zepp, Lior, Jalen, Chris Moore, and
Cardwell, I think.
And Cardwell all at the same time was a bit of a strange lineup. And
you're asking Jalen to do a lot.
Yeah, and it didn't feel like it was the best lineup. For all I know, they had the best PER or plus minus during that. During that period, but who knows?
Yeah, I actually want to see what the Jalen Williams PER is right now. I'm looking it up so you can talk amongst yourself.
I know after the last game, Walker has jumped Jabari in PER. And again, triple double will do that for you.
Yeah, no joke.
But they're both like 27 or 28 plus.
Yeah, Walker's at 30 and Jabari's at 27. Dylan Cardwell's at 22. And then Jalen's at 16. And that's Jalen he's playing 200 minutes, whereas Walker's playing 300 minutes. So Jalen's not playing close to the minutes per game he normally was. Mm-hmm. And still a very efficient player. And still a 0.16 win share. So here's your win share. That's win share for 40. His total win share, Ryan, who has the highest win share on this team?
I'm looking at it, so you might want to ask Chief. Oh,
my computer froze.
The highest
so you might want to win ask share. Chief.
That's not a trick question.
Jabari.
Yeah, he's got 2.4 win shares right now. And 0.268 per 40. Both team highs.
So, yeah, 0.268 per 40 is nuts. Because basically that means that for every game, Jabari is worth a quarter of a win.
I mean, that checks out. The eye test will tell you that.
Having him on the floor is worth 1/4 of a win.
I still have this. I still can't help but have this feeling that there are people that watch Auburn basketball that don't get Jabari, like don't get how good he is. I think those people must exist.
I he still hasn't had the 35 point night where he's just, I don't know, making highlight plays every time down the court.
Right.
And some of that is because he's not a, you know, 35% usage guy.
Right.
And you guys used to get mad at me all the time for saying guys are good but inefficient. Like Kira Lewis, one of those guys years past.
Anthony Edwards.
Anthony Edwards.
NBA superstar. Anthony Edwards. One of those guys.
And really a good basketball player. He's having a pretty good start in his NBA career, but he didn't make Georgia any better. Georgia was still one of the worst teams in the SEC that year because he was taking 35-40% of the shots when he's on the court. Jabari's not doing that. He's 20%, and Wendell Green's 20%, and Walker's 20%. And this team is so deep that Jabari doesn't have to be that guy right now.
Right.
But if you sit there and you break down film and you just watch all of his games, you see he is that talented every single night.
The advanced stats kind of show an 8-man rotation that I didn't think about until just now, but it's kind of obvious. And that's partially because Flan isn't really on these yet.
Right.
But I am shocked to see that Jalen is having a worse year in advanced stats than one Dylan Cardwell. Dylan Cardwell's crushing it.
I don't think Jalen's been that great this year. I know he's efficient, but I just haven't.
Jalen has a super high usage rate, basically, which kind of goes into that crazy lineup you're talking about. He's playing with lineups in which he's the guy. Like, he'll come on the court and, like, his usage rate is almost the same. It's higher than Walter Kessler's. It is.
Well, he's also got an assist rate of a guard.
Yeah, it's true too.
Inflates that usage rate a little bit.
Yeah.
So he's handling the ball a lot more than most power forwards will. 12.5% assist rate, and his turnover rate's kind of climbed this year as well. It was 17%.
He's being asked to do a ton with that second unit. He's being asked to handle the ball, move the ball, and score the ball with the second unit. Whereas Dylan Cardwell's over here with his 9 usage percentage compared to Jalen's 20 and crushing it. Whenever Dylan Cardwell gets the ball, good things happen, it seems like.
Well, he's doing a lot of the Austin Wiley kind of stuff where he's cleaning up around the basket, which is contributing to that a lot. I'm not saying he's, exactly Austin Wiley or anything. It's just a similar thing where, if he's down there to clean everybody else's messes up for the most part.
He's doing a really good Horace Spencer impersonation.
Sure.
With probably a little bit more efficiency and less fouls.
Yeah, he's leading the team in offensive rebounding rate at 16%. For comparison, Walker's at 10.5. Jalen's at 6.8 on the offensive glass. So 16% for Dylan Cardwell, that leads to a lot of those mop-up buckets that you're talking about.
Yeah.
He's been a good defender, too. I mean, he's not Walker Kessler, but he's got a lot of block shots. When you're just asking him to make, put back twos and be a rim protector, he's been great at that this year.
Yep, sure.
Can we talk about how Jabari has a 24% defensive rebounding percentage? He's getting a quarter of all the defensive rebounds available.
And Walker also at 24%. So you put them, basically that's saying anytime you put Jabari and Walker on the court together, those two guys get half of the defensive rebounds.
That's crazy.
Available.
Or half of the rebounds on the defensive end, including any that the opposing offense gets. Yeah, wild.
That's crazy. I just had a thought when you were talking about Dylan that I don't think this team really has a quote-unquote energy guy, because I think everybody on this team, for the most part, is an energy guy. Like over half the team are just energy dudes. They're also very talented outside of just offering up energy. So I think that's working.
It's still Katie Johnson. He takes it to another level.
Yeah, but he's a starter. Like he's not coming off the bench to give anybody a boost. And we don't have to have somebody do that because he's already out there usually. It's pretty great.
He's made so many plays over the last couple games where really all season, I guess, but on inbounds plays, he's, you know, in other guys' face and causing turnovers. And there was one against LSU where he almost got the steal on the inbound. I think knocked the ball loose, went to the ground with it. The guy still gets up and gets away with the ball, and KD is on the ground reaching for him and kind of swatting at it, almost causes another turnover. It's just, he's never out of a play.
No, he is. I liked his answer on Twitter, or I don't know if he's answering a question. He just tweeted that people ask him who he watches in the league or whatever. And he says he doesn't really watch other guys in the NBA. He watches NFL players.
Yeah, which is so hilarious.
And it makes so much sense. So much sense.
Yeah, he's an NFL safety playing college basketball.
So yeah.
It's so funny. Like that.
He's so much fun to watch, too. I'm glad he plays for us and not Georgia, because, God, I'd hate him if he played for Georgia.
Right.
Also, he wouldn't be winning any games if he played for Georgia.
It'd be too bad for him because he'd be losing a lot of games. What is Georgia, 5-8?
He beat Memphis, though.
Beat Memphis, lost to Gardner Webb last week.
Not just lost.
Got spanked by Gardner Webb.
Got the pillow put over their face and just smothered. It was
let's see, where are they at now? Down to number 216 in KenPom, 5-8 overall.
Still better than Missouri?
Their last two games, they are not better than Missouri.
Oh, okay.
Their last two games, losses by 17 to Gardner Webb and by 2 to East Tennessee State. ETSU put up 86 points on them at Georgia.
Are we going to score 150 on them?
Would be nice.
It'd be really nice. It'd be cathartic.
It'd be wonderful.
So their best win is Memphis, obviously, 32nd in KenPom. Care to take a guess at where their second best win is in KenPom?
390.
So they've beaten, in reverse order, I guess, from worst to best, South Carolina State, 329, Western Carolina, 296, FIU, 243, and Jacksonville, 226. Not Jacksonville State, Jacksonville.
Where's Jacksonville? Is that in Jacksonville, Florida?
Jacksonville, Florida, yeah.
Oh, the Dolphins, yeah.
Out of the A7, yeah. Wow. So they have one top 200 win in KenPom this year.
Oof. Lifetime contract. Yeah. They should really sign him. At this point, they should buy low with Tom Crean and just lock him down.
Can only go up from
$10 a month. Lock him in.
$10 a month.
At this point, you're kind of looking around and wondering, well, maybe we should just hire Tony Barbie.
You know, how bad could it get? Tony Barbie was better than 5-8, I think, at one point in his life.
Have we checked in on him to see how he's doing?
Oh, no. have you looked at Central Michigan this year?
Surely haven't.
The Chips?
Don't know why I would.
All right, I'll run through it real quick. Okay. Their season has been a loss to Missouri, a loss to DePaul. They beat Eastern Illinois, lost to Gonzaga, lost to Bellarmine, lost to Kentucky, lost to Xavier, lost to Western Illinois, Youngstown State, Illinois, Chicago, Detroit Mercy. They lost by 14 to Detroit Mercy, and then got their second win of the season against Kent State on December 29th. They are 2-10, 322nd in KenPom.
Yikes. Tough look for my guy Tony Barbie.
Yikes. Is that worse than their previous seasons? They no longer have a coach or no longer have, they got rid of the guy?
Previous seasons, 281st, 216th, 129th, 168th, 229th.
Oh, so they were sliding downwards, and Tony's just...
Let me finish this off for you boys.
Yeah.
Tony Barbie said, you want to reset your program entirely? I will wipe the slate clean.
He's like an EMP if basketball teams are like a Radio Shack.
Why would you hire that guy?
Ryan Radio Shack was a store that you used to go to get doodads and electronical things that you could have.
Plug a wire.
The Radio Shack sign still up in Tigertown.
Yeah.
No way.
Sure is. The Radio Shack used to be close to downtown, I want to say, in Auburn.
I haven't been in a Radio Shack in a long time.
Last one I went in was that one out in Opelika.
One of their last things I remember them doing was like they put a lot of money into marketing before they ended up going under and sponsored a bicycle race team with Lance Armstrong as their lead rider.
Wow.
Which it turned out great, as you might imagine, for them. His last team at Radio Shack. And then he admitted to using performance-enhancing drugs. So they were tied into that as he's wearing a Radio Shack hat.
So one of the places that Amazon absolutely just killed, destroyed.
Yeah. And everyone was like, oh, Best Buy will do it. No, Amazon was like, we'll kill both of you. We don't care.
Yeah. and the thing is, because Amazon is the only place you can get a lot of the stuff that you could buy from there. Like, you can't just go to Walmart or Best Buy to buy a lot of stuff.
We had a Fry's near us that was like five Radio Shacks put together. It was massive.
Fry's was a little more niche. The Radio Shack was like niche stuff. Like, you needed some stuff for your two-way radio.
Transistors? You want to go buy 30 transistors in a little plastic bag? You go to Radio Shack.
If you're some weirdo who has this like super high-end listening room in your house because you're a massive audiophile, Radio Shack was your spot, not Best Buy.
You need back in the day, you need some transistors, and you also want to pick up a portable TV, handheld TV.
A Watchman, Sony Watchman. Yeah.
Is that related to a Walkman?
Yes. Same. My dad watched the O.J. Simpson chase on a Sony Watchman at the Rangers game. I was there. We were sitting at the Rangers game watching the O.J. chase.
Amazing. Speaking of O.J., we watched this New Year's Eve, all of the Norm MacDonald Weekend Update bits where he talks about the O.J. Simpson case. Yeah. Highly recommend.
Yeah, it's good.
Well, guys, what do you think we're going to do this week? We're going to 1-0?
Well, we've got two games this week.
Oh, let's talk about the next one.
Well, let's take a break first.
Let's take a break, and then we'll talk about the second game.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we're back, boys. 46 minutes, 57 seconds into this podcast. We've just been talking about how we're going to smash South Carolina. And now we're going to talk about that sweet, sweet net music that we're going to put on the silks there in Florida. It's at Florida, right?
South Carolina.
It's at home.
Home for Florida. Yeah.
And then away in Hill.
Yeah. In the hangar.
Yeah.
So we get to host the Gators, who also have not played since before Christmas. Is that also COVID related?
Yeah, they were supposed to play, I think, Ole Miss last week, and that got canceled.
It's COVID. Wow. Well, now I'm feeling lucky that we only had to miss one player for our opener and not forfeit a game or whatever they're doing, postponing.
No, it's non-con.
It's a shame other Auburn teams couldn't miss games for COVID. But
sure, I agree.
I'll leave it at that.
Whereas Florida, unlike South Carolina, Florida's beaten some decent teams.
Yeah, Florida's a weird team this year. They've got some good wins. They beat Ohio State. They beat Florida State, top 100 Cal team. But then they've lost some really weird games. Maryland, one of them. They lost to Texas Southern, who was 0-7 at the time. They're still only 91st in KenPom. It seems like Florida the last couple of years is no one's really gotten a grasp of what they are. They should be, and they normally, like preseason, are one of the top four or five programs in the SEC. And they haven't been bad by any means. They're just not really living up to that hype. They've been slightly worse than their projected preseason every year. They've got some good players. They've got another potential NBA guy in Colin Castleton on the team. But, yeah, they just they're 28th in KenPom right now, and it feels like they should be better than that.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, they're worse than the sum of their parts, which is not what you want.
No.
They play fast, though.
They do. They're a fairly up-tempo offense. I don't think that's really going to bother Auburn at all. I mean, Auburn's defense has played pretty well against some up-tempo teams this year. That just kind of forces them into more turnovers and more mistakes. I get the sense Florida probably hasn't played a front court defense like Auburn yet, because most teams haven't.
The thing that scares about Florida, though, is they're an incredibly physical – they always have been, and they still are a very physical team. Even though they're Billy Donovan, they were a physical team, and now they still are.
Right.
And they are really good on the offensive glass, and they get to the free throw line, as you have written here. They always do. And so it being at home, I'm a little less scared. But if it was on the road, I'd be more like, is Walter Kessler going to have three fouls within 10 minutes of the first half? Like, we got to make sure our big boys stay on the court.
We've also had good teams go down there and lose before. So, it's never – it's never fun to play in Gainesville, I guess, of course, unless you win. But being at home, gives me a lot more confidence.
And this is a night game, too, I believe. I think it's a 7 o'clock tip-off. So it should be a good crowd. I think students will probably start being back around this time. Classes start next Wednesday. So it's no holiday bleacher tickets or anything like that. It should be a full jungle of students. And like you said, them being physical, I think you would worry about that playing at Florida. That's something that can kind of get the crowd involved when you're getting a lot of second chance points and getting to the free throw line a lot. But I don't think that'll play as well on the road. They really struggle shooting. They're like, they're just not great on offense. They're top 50 KenPom, but they're not really blowing anybody out of the water that they've played.
Well, I feel pretty confident we'll handle that one. You know what? I'm pretty confident that we're going to win most of our games in the SEC this year.
I think that's a fair bet there, Chief.
But I don't mean the the cheat of win more than you lose. I mean, I think we'll win almost all of our games in the SEC this year. And I'm not scared to say that. Like, I'm not scared that I'm going to jinx us. Like, it just.
So over under 13.5 conference wins this year.
How many do we have left?
17.
Over.
Over.
Peacock, Ryan.
I don't think there's any. I've seen zero evidence to tell me that we shouldn't win most like 15. Games.
We just played the best defense in the country and beat them by 20.
Yep. It's basketball, so I'm willing to give a concession that we could lose a couple just because we had like too many guys have an off night, or you get screwed by the refs, or you just don't. The other team just goes off. That can happen too. And, guys just can't miss. And then even if you're shooting well, if you're not shooting as well as they are, then you're done. But I just think, this team has so much talent on it that they're going to be able to give any team in this conference trouble.
And, any team in the country, I would say.
Yeah, any team in the country, trouble. And I think people are starting to see that outside of Auburn. I think it's become pretty evident over this Christmas break. And I think if you replay that UConn game now, we'd probably beat that team by 20. So it's, I'm excited, and I don't see any reason that we're going to lose a game this week. Now we could come back, and we did, but because that's basketball. But I just don't think I don't think we should worry about either one of these teams. I think we should expect to go and beat both of them by double digits.
Yeah, I'm with Chief. I'm looking at a 9-14 point win on both these games. And if you're not, you're hating. What'd you say?
No argument for me.
More triple doubles this week?
You know, we've only had two in the history of Auburn basketball, and let's make it three. How about that?
I would love a Jabari triple double this week.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say we will have at least one more triple double from somebody this year.
I will say if it's not Walker Kessler, it's probably Wendell Green. He's a really good rebounder.
Or it's going to be Katie Johnson against Georgia with like 40 Able points. Steals. Like 40 points, 12 steals, 10 rebounds.
Wendell might end up being our top rebounder this year, like before all is said and done. Because he's like, what's he averaging now, Ryan? Do you know off the top of your head?
I'm just looking at his rates. He's only at 2.5% on the offensive boards, but he's 14.5% on defensive.
For a guy who's shorter than me.
I mean, that's better than Jalen Williams, better than Devin Cambridge, better than
My estimate is he's pulling down at least 5 a game, but I think it might be more.
He's like 5'9".
He's so small, but he's good. He's like he's tiny Dennis Rodman. There we go. He just knows where he needs to be to grab boards.
Our best rebounding guard prior to this was Mustafa was our best rebounding guard.
He was a three. He's a wing.
Yeah.
He was what, 6'7"? So
6'5".
Okay.
4.1 rebounds, 4.6 assists per game.
Okay.
All right.
Bryce was an okay rebounder too, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, he was out past 3-point line every shot. So
yeah.
Crow, I asked Chief and friend of the show, Jeremy Golson, this question last week. Right now, at the beginning of conference play of his sophomore year, is Wendell Green ahead of where Jared Harper was? So this is the year that Auburn wins the SEC tournament, regular season, not tournament.
I don't know. I'd have to rewatch some of those games. I hesitate to say yes, but he might be.
Mm-hmm.
So Wendell Green right now is 37% three-point shooting on the year. It's an 83% free throw. He doesn't get to the line as well as Jared did.
He also isn't having to do nearly as much. Like Jared was needing, exactly. We needed Jared to do a lot more.
Yeah.
Now, if Jared was on this team, I don't know. I'd be interested to see what Jared Harper would have done.
The reason I asked the question was because he made some plays in the LSU game that we haven't seen him make this year. A couple of kind of acrobat layups, drawing contact.
Mm-hmm.
I think he took 7 or 8 free throw attempts in this game. I think. And he made a couple of assists that you think there's no way he could see somebody taking the ball to the rim and then getting behind the basket out of bounds, finding somebody in the corner for a wide open three. Did that more than once in this game. And that's the kind of thing that Jared had. That was the wow factor as he progressed throughout his career.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see what Jared would do when he was having to be the third or fourth option. Because that's what now Wendell gets the benefit of coming off the bench. He didn't even start.
Yeah.
He's coming off the bench.
He just comes in and hangs out, throws some moves.
I'm not sure the starter designation matters a ton because he's still playing 30 minutes a game off the bench.
Right. But coming off the bench, he doesn't have the pressure of, if we win, it's because I'm having a good game. If we lose, I had a bad game.
He also has Jabari Smith and Walker Kessler. Like
that's
like
the main thing.
Outside of everybody else that's also probably better than most of the guys Jared played with, he's got two of the best players that have ever played at Auburn.
But by does that year? How old was Bryce that year? His sophomore year.
It was Bryce's junior year.
Does junior year Bryce start over Katie Johnson? That may be the only one because maybe.
Yeah, probably. I mean,
sophomore year Bryce, Chuma right? is not starting over Flan right now.
No.
Sorry, this is freshman Chuma as well.
Yeah, so. freshman Chuma.
Freshman Chuma, junior Malik, sophomore Samir.
None of Malik those dudes are playing over.
Malik, not even Samir.
Malik is probably taking Chris Moore's minutes, so he's getting 4 minutes a game, 3 minutes a game.
And Wiley's not starting over Kessler right now.
No.
Or Anthony.
That's the year Wiley didn't play.
Yeah.
It was Anthony, the center who got hurt and then Horace had to start.
Anthony's six foot nine. He's not starting over Walker.
Ant's playing four on this team. Ant's playing four on this team is what's happening.
Over Jabari?
And, no, not starting. Okay. Good Lord. he's coming off the bench.
That was the year Anthony was like 38% from three.
And also blocking every shot.
Yeah. So he's probably playing at the four over Jalen. Probably.
And he's getting Dylan Cardwell's minutes.
How many off seasons now have we talked about or drafted a Auburn basketball all star team from the three of us, and it seems like, oh, we're only taking players from the last couple of years because of recency bias. Yet now it's this year's team.
This year's team might take
every one of these players.
Yeah. But this year's team, at least three of the starters I'm taking.
Yeah.
For the most part.
There's some dudes on that 98-99 team and then Marquise that would, I think, obviously get minutes on this team, but there's like a wasteland of players that they don't see the floor on this team.
I mean, we've always talked about Doc Robinson, Jared Sharif. We talk about that a lot. Right. Like, who's the best point guard, Auburn point guard? And I'm not ready to put Wendell up there right now because I don't want to compare Wendell this year to Jared junior year.
Yeah, right.
I don't think Wendell's better than Sharif was last year. They're different players.
Yeah, they're different players. Sharif on this team, man.
Jeez Louise, man.
He'd
have 14 alley-oops a game. Just alley-oops.
Yeah, he wouldn't score a point, probably.
He wouldn't have to score a point.
He could stand at half court and just make passes to whoever's open all game long.
He'd be the one drawing fouls, so he'd get some – he'd score 15 a game from the free throw line.
And
everything else would just – he'd have 30 assists a game.
No, we don't – I'm not going to sit here and say we need Thor or Sharif.
Right.
But I will say Thor, I don't think, helps this team.
No.
Sharif makes this team transcendent.
Supernova, man.
This team is number one in the country right now.
This team's a G League team.
This team is effectively, a G League team.
I mean, good grief. I mean, seriously, Flan, Walker, Jabari, Sharif, and then I guess KD.
Yeah.
Is your starters. Only one guy that's not for sure an NBA player.
That one guy might be playing tight end for the Chiefs in a couple of years. Kate Johnson might have a career elsewhere.
Speaking of tight ends, we're not going to talk football right now, but I do want to make one comment. Auburn's first baseman coming back for his sixth year, John Samuel Schenker, exercising his COVID year, announced this week.
John Samuel Schenkerheimer Schmidt. Put some respect on his name. All right, guys, I'm going to do it for us. We'll see you guys next week. We hope that you guys stay safe. And in the words of the robot John Rothstein, think positive and test negative. I started saying that to people recently. And they're just looking like I'm crazy. And I'm like, hey, man, the robot on Twitter says this a lot.
It feels like a recycled public health campaign from the 80s.
Yeah, exactly.
Does he have a a tweet for when someone wins the national championship, this guy?
No, he has tweets for random teams.
When they lose.
No, when they win.
No, when they win.
Oh, when they
win. So when they win, right, he'll tweet Auburn basketball, period, welcome to the jungle, period. And it's I don't know how he does it so quickly. It's almost like he has all of these saved in drafts, like thousands of them.
He might.
He's the one that coined Will Wade American Gangster too.
Is this guy actually a bot?
People think this, and partially because of his profile picture on Twitter, looks like a looks like a bot's profile picture. No, it's too good. He's been a guest on podcasts, and he hosts a podcast. We know that he's
okay. Well.
There's a person with a voice.
He does the CBS studio for basketball, I think.
Right, he has a CBS studio piece for basketball now.
Okay.
On CBS Sports Network.
Yeah.
All right, I'll believe it. I believe it.
But his Twitter account could be automated, as far as I know. He tweets the same like five things every single day.
Well, he has what's his morning tweet? It's like 6 o'clock every morning. I forgot what it was.
But he also he's like it's only January, and then next month it'll be like it's only February, and then he sleeps.
We sleep in May.
We sleep in May. Like he'll tweet this out like every night. he's a fan of the scheduled tweet.
And it'll be like when Drake beats Missouri State or something like that too.
Yeah, like, Drake beat Missouri State. We sleep in May. What? All right. See you guys next week. We'll have multiple basketball games to talk about. And I believe we're going to maybe have some Auburn soccer to talk about by next week. We'll see.
Bonos.
Have a Wiggle weekend, everybody.